If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Graduation is a sweet occasion, but finding the perfect gift can be a bitter struggle. MMS.com has a solution. Personalized M&Ms. Just imagine the look on your grad's face when they receive a custom candy creation featuring their school's colors, name, and even their photo printed right on some M&Ms. It's a thoughtful way to celebrate their accomplishments and make the occasion even more special. Visit MMS.com to create your own personalized gifts and party favors for graduations, weddings, birthdays, and more. That's MMS.com. Use code WONDERY to receive 15% off your next order.
Hey everyone, Seth Meyers here. If you enjoyed hearing late night staffers Sal Gentile and Henry Melcher talk about politics in our Summer Fridays podcast series, you're in luck. We're going to continue bringing you their midterm cram segments as special bonus episodes through the November elections. Today, Sal and Henry talked to Gloria Pazmino, a reporter for Politico New York, about the results of last week's primaries, and I think you are really going to enjoy what they have to say. Without further ado, here are Sal and Henry.
Hey, Sal.
Hey, Henry.
We are recording this on Friday, the day after the New York primary. And it was a really interesting primary. It was the last primary before the midterms.
We are effectively in general election season now.
We made it.
For all intents and purposes, the de facto.
We did it.
Yeah, we survived. There will be a November election, we think.
But we're based in New York, but we think it's important to talk about this New York primary, not just because we're here, but because there are these major kind of national implications about what happened yesterday.
Yeah, so even if you're vaguely paying attention to politics, you're aware that this dynamic is happening where leftist progressive challengers, women of color, are taking on establishment Democrats. Massachusetts, here in New York, it happened, in Florida, in the governor's race. And yesterday was essentially the biggest example remaining where Cynthia Nixon was challenging Governor Andrew Cuomo.
So the big headline out of the primaries last night in New York was that Cynthia Nixon lost to Andrew Cuomo pretty significantly. But there were a lot of state Senate races where really exciting progressives that progressives here in New York were really excited about won. But we're also going to talk about the crazy last week in this primary. There were three kind of major stories that were pretty shocking.
Yeah, it was a really weird week, and it exposed a lot about Andrew Cuomo, even though he won.
Start with the mailer. Yeah.
So there was this thing happened in the last week of the campaign where, and keep in mind, Cynthia Nixon is a Democrat running in a Democratic primary. And yet in the last week of the campaign, the Democratic State Party sent out a mailer essentially accusing Cynthia Nixon of being anti-Semitic, trying to tie her to anti-Semitism. And the New York Times, which endorsed Andrew Cuomo, called it like the lowest form of politics. Like it was a gnarly mailer. And this weird thing happened where like nobody wanted to take responsibility for it. Everyone was saying like, I don't know where this mailer came from. And then somebody finally came forward and basically admitted it was
approved by one of Cuomo's top advisors.
And he had the weirdest possible explanation for how a negative mailer went out from the Democratic Party about somebody running in a Democratic primary.
He, quote, only saw the positive side of the mailer.
So he claims that he only saw the part that was like nice things about Andrew Cuomo and didn't flip it over to see the part that called Cynthia Nixon an anti-Semite.
So let that be a lesson.
Yeah.
Flip over every piece of paper because there may be some stuff you don't want to be associated with on the other side. There was also this bridge.
New York had its own bridge gate.
Yeah, so last week, Governor Cuomo had been pushing for the opening of this new bridge, the Mario Cuomo Bridge, named for his father. But I'm reading from the New York Times now. The administration of Governor Andrew Cuomo offered the contractor building the Mario M. Cuomo Bridge enticements to meet a late August deadline to open, including the possibility of absorbing extra cost and reducing their responsibility for potential traffic accidents.
So they essentially were pushing to try to get this bridge done before the primary as an example of Cuomo being the sort of can-do governor that gets things done, despite the fact that reportedly some of the engineers were concerned that a part of the old bridge would fall on a part of the new bridge, potentially causing traffic accidents. And they essentially said, don't worry about it. Just get the bridge done.
We
got your back if there's a traffic accident.
But honestly, both of these controversies are pretty much swamped by another gate. We're at like between Mailer Gate, Bridge Gate. Now we're at Bagel Gate. So Cynthia Nixon orders a bagel.
Yeah. She just goes to Zabar's, orders a bagel.
But the bagel's weird.
It's a weird
it's a weird bagel. The filling's fine. The filling's great. Cream cheese, capers, red onion, tomato, lox.
That's exactly what you'd want in a bagel. That's
perfect,
a standard. It's
very
a classic
New York
filling.
Order.
Yes.
She gets it on a cinnamon raisin bagel.
Yeah, I mean, of all the bagels.
So we talked to Gloria Pasmino in this episode, a reporter for Politico New York. And when we're done talking with her, we all tried the bagel.
Yes.
We ordered the bagel.
I mean, can you think of a worse bagel to order that combination of ingredients on? I can't. I was
it
trying
works
to think
on
like,
pretty much every other bagel.
Yeah, like an egg bagel.
Salt.
Yeah.
Everything would be my choice.
Yeah.
Plain sesame, poppy seed. But she went cinnamon raisin.
It's weird. So what you're about to hear us talk about is the fact that despite Cuomo winning, New York politics changed pretty dramatically last night. So we'll get into all of that in the interview.
Here's Gloria. Hey, we are here with Gloria Pasmino. She's a reporter for Politico New York. So last night were these New York primaries. You're reporting on the scene. You were at the Cynthia Nixon, Jumaane Williams, Zephyr Teachout celebration party, but they were 0-3.
Right.
What was it like being there last night?
Thank you for having me. So I was at Cynthia Nixon headquarters last night, as you said. She was in the Flatbush section of Brooklyn in a hookah bar.
Really?
Which was an interesting kind of setting. And I had said this earlier, before yesterday, you know, a day before the election, her campaign switched the venue. They had originally planned to have a party at a much larger sort of music type of space. And then they switched it to this hookah bar located in the district that's currently represented by Councilman Jumaane Williams, who was running with her on the ticket to become the next lieutenant governor. They must have perhaps started to get an indication of where things were going to go the next day. Yeah. And I think they were trying to at least be in a place where they would be some energy and support. The setting last night, obviously she lost, the entire ticket lost. But they try to make it seem like a win. They said, we didn't get what we wanted, but we took out the IDC. And it was a win for them in that sense.
You mentioned the IDC, which is like this breakaway group of Democrats. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. That sort of like fundamentally reshaped the state legislature. Broadly speaking, even though Andrew Cuomo won, what is your takeaway about whether and how New York politics changed last night?
I have three takeaways. The conventional playbook that seems to have been tossed out the window in many other states and many other of these primaries still applied in New York last night. The power of incumbency proved mightier than the power of insurgency. Money is still extremely important. If you want to win an election in New York, you have to have a lot of money. And just running with small donations and sort of at the grassroots is not good enough, especially if you're running at the statewide level. Those are my main takeaways, that yes, there is an insurgency that's moving throughout the country, but, you know, Andrew Cuomo is a Democrat, and perhaps he's not the Democratic Party's liberal left wing of the party's ideal, but this election season definitely moved him to the left. And I think people want experience and they're still wary of electing another celebrity to a major office. This is New York. It's a multi-million dollar state budget. There's a lot at stake. And I think whether people are Republicans or Democrats, they take pause when they vote for someone who has never run anything like that.
Anecdotally, I can just say I've talked to a lot of friends, progressives, people on the left wing of the Democratic Party. And I think most of them ended up voting for Cynthia Nixon, but there was a ton of hesitation about this idea of experience and celebrity. This was an issue that was raised in the New York Times endorsement, which was really the New York Times endorsed Andrew Cuomo by saying he was kind of plagued by corruption, had been moved to the left by Cynthia Nixon, had been made a better governor by Cynthia Nixon being in the race, did not live up to their hopes last time he was reelected. But she doesn't have experience, so we're just going to go with him again.
I really want to ask you about this, so let's just jump into it now, because you're totally right. In New York, as you totally explained, in many ways, machine politics still rules, and that's money right. still rules. There was this weird thing going on in New York where a bunch of the organs of the liberal establishment were sort of like tying themselves into knots to kind of get behind Cuomo. Like, de Blasio, who has absolutely no love for Cuomo, Mayor de Blasio, wouldn't endorse Cynthia Nixon.
But was like hate tweeting him after the debate.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It was such
amazing.
A weird thing.
Yes. And as you said, really twisting himself into a pretzel to praise Cynthia Nixon and say, you know, the primary season has been great for New York and Cynthia Nixon has created a lot of movement and brought a lot of, you know, good things to the conversation, but not endorsing her. And we know that they're friends. She was instrumental in his election in 2013.
Yeah.
The reason for all of this is that we all know Cuomo is known for being a vindictive politician who will get back at you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think the mayor seriously weighed that.
Yeah.
So to go back to your point about the New York Times endorsement, they really went in there and sort of held their nose and endorsed Andrew Cuomo on the basis of experience, management, and the risk that they could be taken by backing somebody like a Cynthia Nixon.
But people who weren't closely following the New York Times editorial page, the bizarre thing unfolded where the New York Times endorsed Andrew Cuomo, then wrote about it a mailer that the Democratic State Party sent out that they called deeply offensive in the lowest form of politics, and he owed his a challenger apology. Then they endorsed Zephyr Teachout and Jumaane Williams. Then they wrote an editorial saying to fix the subway, vote, and then vote for all these other people that are going to promise congestion pricing. And in one of these editorials, I forget, was editorial at some point, they literally said, you know, Cuomo's bad, but he has the potential to lead.
I would have definitely liked to be a fly in the room of wherever the editorial board of the New York Times meets. Because I have to imagine there were some heated arguments in there about this very point.
Yeah.
Do we go with experience and management and, you know, what is an entrenched politician, you know? Cuomo is this is what he's good at. He's a master of the political tactic. He's not going to. Let's just talk about the fact that he won last night and did not appear in public.
Yeah,
he was home. He was just home watching.
He watched the election from his home with his closest advisors and never came out once to say anything. Yesterday at the ballot, he showed up near his home in Westchester to cast his vote. And he was asked by one of the reporters, what are you going to do if you lose? Do you plan on seeking another party line? And he and Cuomo fashion turned to that reporter and said, no, I think I'm just going to become a journalist and start questioning people about what they do.
Yeah, it was so vindictive
and
petty.
The job of a journalist.
Yeah,
he was
like,
it seems a lot easier to just second guess what people do. It's like,
exactly.
You're literally describing what their job is. It's like if a journalist is like, well, maybe I'll become the governor and make decisions.
Maybe I'll become a doctor and look at your symptoms and make an assessment based on the symptoms.
But it really gives you an idea of where his head was, you know?
We've been talking a little bit about this idea of machine politics. Yeah. I mean, that's a national issue, machine politics, but in New York it seems especially potent because of the machine under Andrew Cuomo. But machine politics are built by people. People run this machine. And it seems to be true that there's these really interesting upstart left-wing candidates running local races, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But in terms of challenging the governor, we don't really have people in the political establishment challenging Cuomo. Zephyr Teachout ran in 2014 as a professor. Cynthia Nixon's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of talk about how the machine has kind of tamped down political rivals to Andrew Cuomo, even on the left, at that mid-level and upper-level range?
I think the debate and sort of the study of what is happening to machine politics in New York is still really developing. I thought that we had seen the beginning of the end with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for machine politics, right? Mm-hmm. She ran against the machine and essentially killed the Queens political machine. And the Queens political machine, I will mention, had another really bad night last night. But when you talk about these sort of next level offices, a governor, a mayor, it proved that, you know, they're still entrenched. So I think it's still up in the air. It's a question, you know, and Andrew Cuomo has a lot of power in the state. There's a reason people support him. There's a reason the establishment supports him. This is what he does. This is what he's good at. Yeah. He's not good at the rope line. And he's not good at, you know, what we call retail politics. He's not going to go out and hold the baby, so to speak, and kiss the baby. And,
what are you going to do? Sit here and cry at me, baby?
Oh, maybe if I lose, I'll become a baby start crying.
But there is a reason this, you know, for the past few years, we've had this quote unquote three men in a room dynamic in this state, because Cuomo gets into a room and he gets certain things done. And to go back to the Times endorsement, this was kind of the argument. When he wants to, he really gets it done. It's really a remarkable thing to say about anyone in office these days. A man in office leading, as we have said, arguably what people consider to be the most progressive state in the union. And people who are closely watching know that sometimes we're not as progressive as we claim to be.
Yeah. It's amazing that you mentioned the retail politics side of it and his sort of like calculating backroom style, because Andrew Cuomo wanted to and may still want to, probably still wants to run for president. Mm-hmm. And that is a big reason, probably the biggest reason why we have the political state that we had going into this primary. Cuomo wanted to run for president. He essentially tacked one way, thinking he wanted to be like a sort of like rightish centrist, like governor, like calculating, mm-hmm. like bipartisan guy. He essentially bragged at one point that even Republicans would be proud of the way that he had run the state government. And so he engineered this thing where a bunch of like breakaway Democrats mm-hmm. caucused with Republicans to make sure that they never sent like liberal bills to Cuomo that he would have to then veto and get in trouble for vetoing. Right. So and that essentially started with him wanting to run for president, right? I mean, that's what that was all about.
That's right. And, you know, he was asked this during the race in this past few weeks. He was asked during the debate with Cynthia Nixon if he was going to run, if he would rule out a run for president. And he said he intends to serve his 4 years.
Unless God strikes him dead.
Unless God strikes him dead.
Yeah.
I am of the belief that these candidates, you know, they, when it comes to running for president, they could really say anything they want and they can change their mind.
No one cares.
And no one's going to hold it against them.
They know that no one ever held anyone against anyone.
So if he decides that, you know what, if he sees a path, I haven't made up my mind on this yet. I think he flirts with it as much as he can. I think he tests out the field, gets a feel for it. I don't think he goes all the way. I don't know how an Andrew Cuomo wins in Iowa. And especially with what the field is shaping out to be like, you know, women and candidates of, you know, people of color. And that Cuomo, you know, if you know his record and you know what he's like, he is more of like a Bill Clinton era type of Democrat, And it's clear that the country is looking to move in a different direction, if at all. We knew that Andrew Cuomo needed to beat Cynthia Nixon, and he didn't need to just a little bit beat her. He really needed to get a solid win. And if he didn't get a solid win, it wasn't going to be good for him.
I used to think that a brash, vindictive, charmless New Yorker would have zero chance winning in Iowa, but then...
I was just thinking the Cuomo Trump battle is, I mean, that's earth shattering. I think we should talk about the attorney general race.
Yes.
And the reason why is this attorney general's race had huge national implications. And you just see that in terms of how these candidates ran. There were four people running for attorney general, and they were all essentially running against Trump.
Yep.
Even though the attorney general has a ton of New York based business, they were all running against Trump because they will have a lot of federal power in terms of investigating the Trump Foundation. Mm-hmm. So there's currently an acting AG of New York, Barbara Underwood. She's the acting AG because Eric Schneiderman was removed from office this year after Ronan Farrow published a piece detailing physical abuse. Right. So can you talk about how these candidates ran against Trump and the power Tish James will have against the Trump foundation and, you know, his dealings?
Right. Yeah. President Trump really loomed large in this entire election. And I would say everybody ran against him, and everyone's campaign was modeled around the fact that they have to fight back Trump. And specifically with the AG's race, as you mentioned, that office has unique powers in New York. They have the power to go after Trump, not just the man, but his business dealings, his associates. You know, this is where Trump made himself, and all his dealings and his businesses are still here. So they have unique power that way. There's also something that the candidates pledged to do, and Letitia James has said she wants to do, which is to close a loophole that currently exists in the law that would allow the president to pardon anyone in New York who is accused of a federal crime. If they close this loophole in the state legislature, they would be able to prosecute them here in New York.
How did I know that?
So some unique powers. And so and let's remember that New York is the financial center of the country, and they have direct oversight of that as well. And yes, many other things. You know, the AG has, you know, obviously the top law enforcement official in the state. Tish James has her work cut out for her. There's a rampant corruption in the state capitol. Trump, she has pledged to sue him just as much as Eric Schneiderman was doing when he was still in office, and as Barbara Underwood and many other attorneys general around the country have been doing.
Supposedly, there's some reporting that Trump kind of was interested in who was running for attorney general in New York. He was kind of asking people, like, so who's running? What's going on?
You know, I was surprised to not... I don't believe he's weighed in.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I'm just kind of curious. Yeah. I'm thinking about voting in the Democratic primary.
I don't think he's weighed in the last 24 hours. But I was curious last night to see, you know, depending on what would have happened. He had some a few tweets about Andrew Cuomo a couple of weeks ago. Mm. And obviously we had the Governor Cuomo making his America was never that great gaffe, or not a gaffe, depending on who you ask.
Right. Well, it kind of seemed like maybe it was designed to incite Trump's.
I would argue that's exactly what it was. I think he was very happy to have Trump tweeting about him.
Yes, exactly.
So this margin last night, Cuomo got like 66% of the vote, but turnout was like double, I saw a report.
Yes. So I would say this is maybe one of the brightest moments of last night, especially in New York, which still has arcane, crazy, backwards electoral law.
It is so hard to vote here.
It is so hard to vote. Again, to this point about New York being the most progressive liberal state in the nation, it's incredibly hard to vote. But we saw turnout, as you said, almost double last night. For a primary election in New York, that's huge.
On a Thursday.
On a Thursday. Yeah. On a day where we didn't get, the weather wasn't as bad, but it wasn't great. Hard to vote. Thursday primary. Historic low turnouts. If nothing else, that's encouraging that people are energized, no matter who they're voting for, that people are getting involved. It's what we need people to do more of. People are interested. They want to vote. They want to, even if it's hard. You know, I got a lot of reports last night from people all around the city saying, I've always have voted, but I've never seen a line at my polling place. Yeah, there's a line out the door.
Yeah.
So that's encouraging, I think, just for, you know, general civic involvement.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting because, like, I feel like the rest of the country kind of finally got exposed to a lot of stuff about New York that they may not have realized last night. So, like, the insane Byzantine voting rules, the mayor's son couldn't even cast a ballot. That's insane.
Yes.
So people kind of also are. And then also just the fact that, like, you're tuning into the news, you're like, wait, New York has a primary on a Thursday? Like, why? And also the fact that our primaries are staggered. If you're thinking to yourself, like, if you don't live in New York and you're thinking to yourself, didn't New York already have like five primaries this year? Like, that's because like it's close. It's like it does feel like we've had a bunch of primaries.
And there's no early voting here. Absentee voting is difficult. To register to vote, and the primaries are closed, so you have to be registered in a specific party to vote in their primary. And to register to vote in a primary, you have to register like 12 years in advance.
Yes, literally 12 years.
12 years.
You have to know. You have to have known 12 years ago that you wanted to
do
this today.
There are 6-year-olds going into the Board of Elections. I mean, like in 12 years, I'd like to vote for somebody.
But I remember during the campaign, I think during the 2016 presidential campaign, that the Trump kids couldn't vote.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, the Trump kids can't vote. And other people are like, well, I mean, yes, they obviously should make sure they can vote for their father. But like, it's also really hard to vote in New York.
Yes.
And they had not registered in time to get into the primary. I mean, not that I have like a ton of sympathy for like, it's fine. Also, like, if your parents are running for president, like, check. Like, I checked to make sure I was ready. Like,
definitely.
Check.
It's very hard to vote in
very
New York. It's very hard.
But I could just see like Eric and Don Jr. just getting like, even if they get to the Board of Elections, just like getting confused and like getting lost.
Like, Eric, the election was 2 weeks ago.
I mean, again, this is now one of the things that Cuomo has said he's going to do, right? Reforming election law in New York has been a priority of Democrats for years. Electoral reform in Albany has been blocked time and time and time again under Cuomo, under governors before him. And it's because, you know, the harder it is to vote, the longer incumbents can hold on to power.
Back to the Times endorsement, even though they said this was not a resounding endorsement of Cuomo in any way, they did say that if you do regain Democratic control in Albany, and because this national mood is moving left, whether or not Cuomo wants to run for president, maybe he will now govern in a more progressive fashion. And it looks like they're going to have a more progressive state Senate, and maybe they'll push forward voting laws that Cuomo feels like now he just has to sign.
Yeah, I think.
But we'll see.
The interesting thing about last night, despite Jamani and Cynthia and Sefer losing what we saw down ballot with the state elections, Cuomo is going to go back to Albany and see a legislature that's looked nothing like this before. And that's really going to change dynamics and the power dynamics in Albany. The incumbents who lost last night have held on to power for a long time in Albany, and the dynamics will shift. And it's going to be very interesting. And the people who won, women of color, young people, that's going to change things.
Yeah,
that's really a national trend we are seeing.
That's right.
And if you're watching from the rest of the country, you're looking at New York, it could potentially be, and we're going to find out over the next couple of months, and we're going to see how Cuomo reacts to this.
Yeah.
But it could potentially be that New York kind of slowly starts to become the state in its politics that you would have thought it would be. So a bunch of issues, and this is kind of a good place to, I feel like, kind of look forward a little bit. Like, what are some of the things that Cuomo was previously, you mentioned voting rights already.
Yeah.
What are a couple of the other things that Cuomo was like very reluctant to do that now all of a sudden he's moved left on to satisfy primary voters in his challenge with Cynthia Nixon, but also now that he has a progressive state Senate, he's going to have to confront and has to change his position on?
I would say probably at the top of the list is the legalization of marijuana. Yeah.
That'll be done like day two.
Yeah,
I feel like that was such a potent piece of this.
Yeah.
Potent,
such a
bad
big
word, but just a big piece.
Such a piece.
Campaign.
And but let's remember that just a year ago, Cuomo was calling marijuana a gateway drug.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what? Who are you?
And then a year later, he's like on the street, like token up, like, hey man, like I got the munchies, dude.
And the shift could not be any clearer.
Yeah.
And now we have the states around us. You know, New Jersey's going to do it. Massachusetts is going to do it. So I don't see how he doesn't, you know, I don't see how isn't the next big thing. And I would say he's going to have to do something on marijuana. He's going to have to do something on the subways. Mm-hmm. The legislature and the mayor will be pushing that.
Well, yeah, it was a super interesting night, especially in terms of the power structures holding on at the top, but everything below changing.
Yep.
And yeah, it's going to be super interesting to see where New York goes and if this does just push it towards being the more liberal state that you would expect. And I think Cynthia Nixon did a great job of exposing that it's not.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Yesterday was busy, but I'm sure today's pretty busy
as well. Thank you for having me.
It was super fun. All right, the bagels have just arrived. Because one of the biggest stories in New York politics from the past week, the end of the campaign, was Cynthia Nixon's bagel order. Cinnamon raisin bagel, cream cheese, red onion, tomato, lox, capers. Got a lot of controversy.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of pieces written about it.
Yeah, a bridge almost fell onto another bridge, but like this was the biggest
story. This was
an actual bridge gate in New York, but
we had a bridge gate.
Yes,
but bagel gate dominated.
Yeah, bagel gate for sure dominated.
We
did the most obvious thing you can do. We ordered the bagels. We have the bagels. Can we do a quick round of predictions, whether or not we're going to like it? I'll go first. I think I'm going to love it.
I think I'm going to like it too. I mean, I like all the ingredients. Why should I not like it? You know?
Sure.
Gloria. Okay. No, I wish it felt differently just for like as a counter person, but I think I'm going to like it too.
All right. We should all try it, but we should try it away from the mic because there's nothing worse listening to someone chewing a bagel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's step back from the microphones.
Okay.
I am, now that I haven't chewed, now that I'm looking at it, I'm more worried.
I am seeing a caper next to a raisin, and I am slightly horrified.
Yeah, you don't want to see a caper right next to a raisin.
There you go.
That's bad.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to finish it, but way better on an everything bagel. The cinnamon raisin-ness is weird.
Well, here's my feeling about it, which is like all the other flavors kind of overpower the cinnamon raisin, no?
It does.
You get it a little bit at the end.
That's right.
Yeah, once you get that.
I got that raisin in there.
You're never going to be the same again. You saw something truly horrifying, which is a caper next to a raisin.
I will say this. There's probably worse things.
That's like the New York Times endorsement of Andrew Cuomo. All right, let's do this real quick to wrap up. Finish or not finish, Henry?
I'm going to finish it.
I would finish it.
Me too.
Oh, okay.
But I'm also starving.
Same. Cynthia wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.